Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
How's everybody doing?
Wonderful.
So I feel like a commencement graduation speaker up here, right? This is your last night, and you can walk out of here filled with the Holy Spirit and ready to go and show forth. That's wonderful. So I'm really humbled to be chosen up here to be a speaker. Certainly have been some wonderful speakers, talented speakers before me, and it's truly an honor. So I'd like to thank Mark and Carol and Yvonne and the whole Mustard Seed community for allowing me to participate in this. And it's nice to see some friendly faces out there, some faces I recognize, a lot of you. Thanks for attending this and making it a successful seminar group. So it's wonderful. So my topic tonight is transformation. And I'd like to talk about that and also share some of my own personal and spiritual story, some aspects of that. So what does transformation mean? Well, it's the act of us being transformed into the image and likeness of God. So it's something that God calls us to become, a transformation into his image. It's our true vocation and calling. Now, to do this, we must change. We must change. And it doesn't happen in a short period of time. No, it happens over a long period of time, sometimes a lifetime. So it's an ongoing process, actually one that began in baptism for us. So Matthew Kelly calls it the spiritual journey. The spiritual journey. Try.
Good try.
So this transformation process that we are undergoing, that we're going through, is the work of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is working, so it's very appropriate to be a part of this Life in the Spirit seminar. Now, during the last 6 weeks, we've all had the opportunity to begin this process, and that is good. But there's plenty more work to be done. You see, becoming someone greater than we are now is not easy. It does require effort. It comes at a great price. And it takes us out of our comfort zone. Okay? We all know that really valuable things take an effort. Costs us something to accomplish those. So the same goes with the pursuit of spiritual excellence. You and I live in a time when excellence and perfection are much sought after in the material world. But when it comes to spiritual things, it's largely ignored. For instance, isn't it a great American goal to have a beautiful body? To be physically attractive? After all, that's what we see on TV, in the newspapers, magazines, online. And yet, how many of those really physically gorgeous people do we see in everyday life? Right? Not many. Maybe one or two. But it is, you know, something worldly. Same way with the pursuit of intellectual faculties. Getting an excellent and perfect education is quite commendable. And there's usually nothing wrong with that, except it is worldly. However, what about moral perfection? Moral excellence? Where do we find any premiums on that? Seems like we are surrounded by lots of people who have a moral standard. It doesn't seem to be a standard at all. They reduce the teachings of Jesus Christ to the pleasure, pain, principle. Pleasure, pain, principle. So long as it feels good and doesn't hurt anybody, it's okay. Now, where in the Bible is that standard? Brothers and sisters, we must resolve ourselves to seek spiritual excellence and perfection. We must seek personal transformation into the image of God. So, my story began, or at least the story tonight, begins in 1998 with the funeral of my 98-year-old mother. She had been living in California, and I was there with a few other people. I made the arrangements and gave the obituary for her. She had been happily married for over 20 years to her second husband after my dad died in 1969. During my childhood years, Mom was very busy with our family business and household chores. I had three brothers who were much older than I, and they were all in college. Two of them went on to graduate from medical school. I remember how Mom and Dad worked very hard, 7 days a week in our wholesale and retail food business, just to pay the tuition. Now, Mom was kind and pleasant, but she didn't show a lot of emotion. She was very attentive, but she wasn't a hugger and a kisser. One thing was very evident, though. She was very dedicated to God and to the church. She prayed the rosary and her prayer book daily. She was honest and decent, and she stressed those virtues to me. Looking back, it was around the time of her passing that I began to realize an influence in my sense of being. I guess it was kind of supernatural. It began with the return flight after the funeral from Los Angeles to Cincinnati. It stopped at Pittsburgh and then flew to Cincinnati. So, I'm a map person. It's a 4-hour flight. So, I got out the airline magazine and began to study the flight map. I could see the normal course was pretty much a straight line from Los Angeles to Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, St. Louis. It was all in a straight line. So after about 3 hours, I was amazed to see a very large body of water out in the distance as I gazed out the window. I checked the flight map, and the only thing I could figure out was it was Lake Michigan, which was hundreds of miles farther north than the flight plan showed. Gradually, I could make out a very large city, and as we got closer, yes, it was Chicago. Guess what? We flew right over an area that I absolutely love. The place is called University of Notre Dame, and it's just east of Chicago. Notre Dame holds a very special place in my heart for 3 reasons. First of all, it's dedicated to Our Lady. Secondly, two of my three brothers graduated from pre-med there. And thirdly, I'm a huge Notre Dame football fan. Because I grew up listening every Saturday afternoon in the fall to Notre Dame games. So as the flight continued and the pilot began his descent, we flew over, and I mean right over, I could look down and see them, three other significant places in my life, including Ravenna, Ohio, which is where I was born, and Edinburgh, Ohio, a little town where I grew up. And then, as the flight approached the runway in Pittsburgh, we flew right over part of Pittsburgh where my family lived for 15 years before they moved to Ohio. Now again, I'm not sure the reason for this flight diversion, but it was kind of eerie. And then it hit me. Those places were all important to my mother as well as to me. Kind of strange. Then, a few days later, our neighbors were very kind enough to bring a memorial remembrance gift to our house. Now, it wasn't a nice bouquet of daisies and roses or a casserole or anything like that. No, it was a huge potted geranium plant. That's a strange gift for a guy. But guess what my mother's favorite plant was? Geraniums. You got it. I concluded that my mother was trying to tell me something. You see, I can look back and clearly see my personal transformation beginning at that point. And I believe my mother, the saint that she was praying for me in heaven. She must have been praying pretty hard, too. So let's talk a little bit more about the process of transformation and transforming ourselves into the image and perfection of God. The great spiritual writers have tackled this and have concluded that there are three stages of transformation. The first is conversion. Next is purification or illumination. And the last is complete union with God. So we have conversion, purification, and union. The first stage, conversion, means faithful submission and obedience to people and events. It means acceptance of discipline. It means awareness of our own sinfulness and shortcomings. St. Augustine was a great saint, but at one time, he was a great sinner. During his conversion process, he prayed, "O Lord, make me chaste, but not yet." Now, we are all very self-centered by nature. We choose to act according to what pleases us. We judge things by whether we like them or not. So when we don't get what we want, we may grumble and complain. It's a matter of control. Who is in charge in our lives? Who is in control? In order to begin to accomplish transformation, we must lose control and hand that over to God. He must be in charge. Thus, conversion involves our recognizing God's hand in what happens to us. It is the process of happily accepting our duties and refusing to evade Him. So, will we allow God to draw us toward Him? Or will we persist in staying where we are? We have to learn to take our hands off the controls. So back to my story. About the time of my mother's death, I was heavily influenced by material things, getting ahead in business. My profession of being a successful financial advisor for moneyed clients, I felt like I was giving a service. But at the same time, my objectives dealt with secular goals, increasing my production and income. I always prayed a little at bedtime and went to Mass every Sunday. It really didn't bother with other spiritual pursuits. I was a minimal Catholic. A few months after my mom's death, something inside me urged me to attend the annual Catholic Men's Conference. There were several notable speakers, like Jerry Fowles, Father Benedict Rochette, and a young guy from Australia named Matthew Kelly. It was one of his first speaking engagements, and I was deeply moved. I soon discovered the Magnificat prayer book, and then St. Agnes opened the Adoration Chapel. I signed up and have been going ever since. I was drawing closer to God and began to feel His presence along with the messages of guidance and direction. Although I was still in control of my life, God was making His influence known in quiet and subtle ways. So, my faith journey was in motion. And I believe my mother was praying her little heavenly heart out just for me. Now, the second stage of transformation is purification, or also called illumination. I think this is similar to the prodigal son finally coming to his senses as he's feeding the pigs and deciding to return home. With this stage, what the path was before is now become more narrow. But we come to realize there is no other path. So, we may begin to have a painful knowledge of ourselves and see ourselves as we really are, to realize the hollowness of our goodness, truth, and virtues. Our ambitions are unmasked, and we are called to renounce them. We begin to see God where we never thought He was. This upsets our preconceived notions of God. Then there are other things in our life that we realize we may never be able to change, but we will have to find a way to live with them. What is happening in this process is that anything that is an obstacle to our union with God is popping up, and we have to deal with it. No one makes this stage of the transformation process easily. Mostly because we have either a conscious or an unconscious natural resistance to it. Eventually, though, we become more passive while God becomes more active in our lives. Now, my own personal path towards purification and elimination eventually led to my decision to enroll in the Diaconate Formation Program. So starting in the fall of 2008, I began 5 years of formal classroom preparation. It was certainly challenging, especially the last 3 years. But this culminated in my ordination as deacon in April of 2013. And I felt like my mother's prayers were being answered. Then we come to the third and final stage of transformation, union with God. It is similar to the prodigal son being back home with his father once more in his protective care. Up to now, we have given what we possess. Union with God means our own very self is given away. There is a continual sense of the presence of God. Our prayer becomes, "You alone are the Holy One." We lose ourselves in Him alone. There can be even joy in suffering. To be in this state is to experience the delight, the joy of the saints. Am I there yet? I don't think so. But I feel I'm making progress towards union with God. And I can still feel my mother's influence and her prayers on my behalf. And so, we have the challenge before us to accomplish those three stages of transformation: conversion, purification, and union with God. By attending this Life in the Spirit seminar, we have all begun this journey. Of course, each of our journeys will be different. And so, to all of you, I say, have courage. Make the difficult decisions. Move away from merely being comfortable and submit to God. Let Him take over our lives. And do not fear. He provides for us. He will take care of that of us. We read about that. We hear about that in Scripture. He is there. It all depends upon what we really want and the price we're willing to pay to have it. God bless you, and know that I will keep you in my prayer. Thank you.